Morning, microphone's on, beautiful day. February 28th, 2021. Lightly overcast outside, nice and bright light on the snow. Snow's not all gone. We do have a nice icy patch right out front, so everybody be careful coming and going. Of course, you know that. Speaking of an icy patch, I want to talk about falling forward. So on the very front, the picture on the front of the bulletin, it says, stay positive. Remember, falling on your face is still moving forward. If we position ourselves so that we are, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. In fact, let's get to that now. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 7. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted for loss, counted loss for Christ. Yet I indeed also count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. The time of Paul's writing this letter, he's made a couple of missionary journeys. He's been arrested. He's in Rome. He's in prison in Rome. But he has been going and preaching the gospel ever since he had his conversion experience on the road to Damascus, and then he went and was studying for a couple of years before he actually went out and began doing the missionary trips. But he's been all this time, having grown up as a Pharisee, having grown up knowing the law, having grown up knowing the scriptures, having grown up being one of the most righteous people around by the standards of the world, he said, that's not enough. All of that is lost to me, that because I'm not basing my righteousness on the law. My righteousness is by my faith in Christ. By what Jesus has done in my stead is my righteousness. But Paul he's been walking this out for a while, and he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I don't think I've made it. I'm not perfected. I'm not already there. He said, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, even with everything I've done, I'm pushing forward. Now we know when Paul was getting ready, or actually when Paul was arrested, when he was first arrested, and he got brought before the Sanhedrin, and he looks around, he sees Pharisees and Sadducees here, and he decides to stir up trouble, stir up controversy. It is for the hope of Israel that I'm called in question this day. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in the hope of Israel. That's what they were talking about. The hope of Israel was the resurrection from the dead, which is what pitted the Pharisees and Sadducees against each other. So here Paul looks around and says, gee, if I can get them fighting each other, maybe it won't be so bad on me. Stirs up trouble. Paul was known to say, I told you so. You know, Paul had his own issues, but he was working at it. He was continuing to press forward. Paul had not apprehended, just as none of us have. But Paul says, I have this in mind. I understand this. And because of that, I continue to press forward. I continue to press in. I continue to draw close to Christ. as we go throughout our life, we're going to have setbacks. Scripture says, John, in 1 John, John says, I write this to you that you may not sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The goal is to not sin. But if you do, understand that God has made provision. Scripture talks about God being able to keep us from falling. How many of us haven't fallen? But He's able to keep us from falling. So if we continue to push in, continue to draw close, so that even if we do fall, we fall going the right direction. We fall still moving forward. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Weight Watchers. Other than knowing what it is, but you know, having gone to any of the meetings and stuff like that. Before all this pandemic was going on, Debbie and I were going regularly. Debbie was going, I was the chauffeur and would sit next to her. But, one thing that they would always talk about is, you know, you go in with the mindset of I'm going to track their points. And then one day you just blow the points. You know, you just go crazy eating things you shouldn't, you know you shouldn't eat, at amounts you know you shouldn't do. What do? Well, the next day is a new day. You get back up and you keep going. You don't give up. You don't fall back. You don't chuck it all because I made a mistake. Some diets will have what they call a cheat day. On this day, you can eat whatever, but the rest of the week, you eat whatever. You know, you eat a set diet, but on a certain days, you can eat whatever. The goal is you continue to get back on the routine. As we're drawing close to the Lord, some days we're going to fall. God is able to keep us from falling, but it's really up to us whether or not we're going to say, okay, God, you think you can keep me from falling? Let's see you do it. Or are we going to participate? Or are we going to draw close to the Lord? Lord, please direct my steps. In 1 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 24, Paul again talking, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul says, I continue to work on this. Paul goes on his first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas, they have John Mark with them. John Mark decides it was more than he signed up for and deserted them. But they went on their missionary journey and they went out telling people about Jesus. They went out proclaiming the gospel. And then later, they're back in Jerusalem and they said, hey, let's do it again. And Barnabas says, oh, okay, yeah, let me get John Mark. And Paul's like, I ain't going anywhere with John Mark. It's not happening. So it ended up that Paul and Barnabas had a very contentious argument before that missionary journey. When Scripture says it's contentious, it was contentious. Now, we don't have all the details. We don't have any of the details except it was contentious. But we've seen contentious things happen in our lives. These two were button heads to the point where, fine, if you're going to bring him, I am not going with you. I'll find somebody else to go with. Y'all have fun. And then Paul found Silas. And Paul and Silas went off on a journey. And Barnabas and John Mark went on a journey. That tension was there. Even in the guy that wrote a third of the New Testament, had that content. The guy who says, I beat my body to keep it under control. He says, I'm focused on this. Still had those issues. Why should we think we won't? The question is, what are we doing to walk through it? How are we positioning ourselves to draw close to God so that even if we stumble, even if we fall on our face, It's because we're moving in the right direction and things just didn't go well. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? Paul says to examine himself, examine ourselves. Do we take a look at our lives? Do we sit down and contemplate, Lord, what am I doing wrong? What all am I doing wrong? Or what one thing am I doing that I'm doing wrong do you want me to fix next? Because all of those come up. It depends on the time of day as to which discussion you want to have with the Lord on that. But God, are we continuing to press toward God? Are we continuing to draw close to God? So that even if we fall, we're going in the right direction. We get back up and keep going because we're already pointed the right way. Or do we turn our back on God? Things got hard and we walk away. Where are we going to go? You know, when Jesus told the big crowd following, says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And most of them left. And it got down to the 12. And Jesus said, will you also go? Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. We may not understand what God is saying or what God is doing, but we can look back and see where God has been there each and every time. He continues to direct us. And if He's continuing to direct us, He hasn't given up on us. We shouldn't give up on Him. Now, it's very easy to go in at all abstracts. You know, Paul says to examine ourselves. Paul says that I keep my body under subjection. Paul says I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My question is, what does that look like? Can anybody give an example of something from Scripture? Because I've got one, but and we'll get to that in a minute. But an example of somebody from Scripture that had that attitude. That no matter what was going on, he trusted God. Okay? Yep, and that's who we're going to talk about. But you got a specific or just all in all?
Abraham.
Okay. And a specific situation?
For the David one, when Saul was chasing after him, he killed him.
Well, that's not the one I'm going to talk about, but yep.
Job.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Everything was falling apart. Job continued to seek God. So let's go to our 1 Samuel chapter 30. Talk about a situation that happened and then want to take a look at it a little bit more. 1 Samuel 30, beginning with verse 1, says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. This is Saul is chasing David, but Saul is nowhere near him. It's in that time period where Saul is chasing him. David and his friends are hiding out with the Philistines, yeah, Pharisees. I'm like, Phoenicians, no, it's not them either. Yep. Right, he's hanging out near the Philistines. And it says, now it happened on the third day when David and his men came to Ziklag. Ziklag is the town David and his men were living in. It was the encampment. So you had David and his men and their families, everybody was there. But David and his men have been off doing battle. And on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I want you to get a full understanding of this picture. You come home. Your family's gone. Your neighbors are gone. Everybody you care about is gone. Everything you own is destroyed. Those neighbors that were with you are blaming you for what happened. This is what David was going on. It says that the people talked about stoning David because they were so upset. David was with them. But he was the one in charge. He was the one, therefore, responsible. And they were grieved and they cried so much they couldn't cry anymore. Their hearts were torn out. They were broken by the things that were going on. They were in horrible condition. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And scripture doesn't tell us what David did to strengthen himself. But while I don't know what he said in this place, I do know what he said in another circumstance where he strengthened himself. Because this is 1 Samuel 30 in a passage that's in 1 Samuel 22 is also in the Psalms. And Psalm 18 verse 27 through 36 is a place where David encouraged himself. It says to God, "For you will save the humble people. But you will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength, who makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend the bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip." David set and rehearsed and repeated things that God had done in his life. Like singing, "Our God is an awesome God." You know, stirred himself up. God can do anything. God has been faithful in every way, in every aspect of my life. God is the one who gives me the ability to make war. God is the one who gives me the ability to make wealth. God is the one who gives me the ability to breathe. Everything that I have is a gift from God. God has been a blessing in my life, and he has shown himself faithful each and every time. David encouraged himself at how wondrous God was. He encouraged himself that God loved him, that God had shown that in so many different ways. Maybe we're singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Because that's what he did. He encouraged himself. The world was falling apart around him. He comes home from battle with his men, and all of their wives and their children are gone. All their goods are taken. Their homes are burned down. The whole area is destroyed. And what does David do? David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he prayed. And then he prayed. We boost our strength by rehearsing what God has already done, how God has already shown himself faithful. Back to 1 Samuel 30. Now we go to verse 7 and 8. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." It's a breastplate that was used in the ministering of a chief or of a priest. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered and said, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all." Before David ever went to God and says, "What do I do?" he reminded himself that God is faithful, God is holy, God is the one who gives me strength, God is the one who gives me the ability to face whatever comes. When we find ourselves facing a circumstance or facing a situation that is overwhelming to us, the first thing we need to do is remind ourselves, strengthen ourselves in the Lord, remind ourselves that God is faithful, that God is able, that there is nothing too hard for him. We don't just go before the Lord and say, "God, can you fix it?" without building up our faith, knowing that there's nothing my God can't do. God has shown himself faithful in each and every way. I've seen him heal. I've seen him deliver. I've seen him set people free. I've seen him just open doors that made absolutely no sense. I've seen God do wondrous things in my own life and in the lives of people around me. So I know God heals. I know He delivers. I know He sets free. And as I rehearse that, it makes it so much easier to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I trust You. What do I do next? Lord, You are my guide. What do I do? Lord, You are the one with all of the answers. How do I face this? How do I address this? When we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, when we rehearse what God has already done, we're setting ourselves to fall forward if we're going to fall. But to press forward so that even if we lose our footing, we are going the right direction because we trust that God is the one leading us. I would not have breath unless God gave it to me. I could not stand unless God enabled me to do it. I could not stand unless He'd healed me multiple times to allow that to happen. So I know that God is faithful. I know that God has a plan and purpose. And when things look like they're falling apart, I recognize that I'm not done yet because God is still giving me breath. I'm not finished yet because God still has a plan and purpose for my life. And neither is anyone else. God still has us here for a reason. And the God who doesn't waste anything. Scripture says our tears are kept in a bottle. He doesn't waste anything. Our life is not a waste. Our circumstances are not a waste because He causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. God is doing great and wondrous things. So even when we stumble, even when we slip, even when we fall face down, God is still at work. Get back up and keep going. It's not time to chuck it all in. God has already shown Himself faithful. Look back and see where God has brought you from, what God has already done in your life. The God who doesn't waste anything didn't waste all that effort. He's building something wonderful in you and in me and in us. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You are the one who guides us and leads us, that You are the one who draws us, Father, that You are the one who directs our steps, that You are the one who is able to keep us from falling, but Lord, also that You are the one who picks us up when we do fall. It says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will not be utterly cast down. The same Bible that says, though a righteous man falls, says the Lord is able to keep us from falling. So Father, we just get up and keep going. Just as Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind, pressing on to the things ahead, I press toward the call of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we continue to seek Your face. We continue to draw close to You. Father, that You direct our steps, that You cleanse us, and that You use us, and that You mold us, and that You show Yourself mighty in us and through us, Father, that we might fulfill that which You've called us to do. And Lord, we remind ourselves how great is our God. We remind ourselves how wonderful You are. We remind ourselves that You are faithful in every way. Lord, makes it so much easier to face whatever happens. Knowing, Father, we are engraved in the palm of Your hands. That everything we go through on this life is temporary, is short term compared to eternity. But You have a plan for us. Not just in our days in this fleshly shell. But You have a plan and purpose for us that outlasts time. So we give thanks, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.